Jazz.
I stand here to speak to you after what has been a tumultuous vote. After an election many described as unnecessary. An election which cost £130 million. An election I called seeking an overwhelming Brexit mandate. In the circumstances, I think the word which is needed above all is sorry. So here I am, waiting patiently for you, the British electorate, to say sorry. You need to say sorry for not voting in the way you were clearly told to. You need to apologise for ignoring me in favour of Jeremy Corbyn and his coalition of chaos, which was so chaotic they didn't even bother to fashion a selection of three-word sound bites for every occasion. And above all, you need to say sorry for making me the candidate everyone was laughing at my constituency count, and not Lord Buckethead. You people need to have a good hard look at yourselves and think about what you've done. It seems to me that you, the voters of the UK, are woefully out of touch and staggeringly arrogant, and frankly, I'm glad I spent the whole 5 weeks of the campaign totally avoiding you.
Welcome to this special edition of Tonight with me, Trevor MacDonald. Only a few days ago, the political world was rocked by this statement.
I, Tim Farron, hereby resign as leader of the Liberal Democrats.
In this special edition of Tonight with me, Trevor MacDonald, we look back at all the highlights of Tim Farron's career as leader of the Liberal Democrats. Who can forget when he said this?
I, Tim Farron, hereby resign as leader of the Liberal Democrats.
Thank you for watching.
Look, I'm telling you, this is where the signal came from. This exact spot.
An allotment in North London. You sure, Doctor? There's, like, nothing here.
Maybe I've lost my touch. You see, I've not got long left, Bill. Everyone knows I'm going to be out by the end of the year, if not sooner.
I am very glad to hear you say that.
Jeremy Corbyn!
Because in my opinion, you are no longer a credible Doctor Who. And once you have done the decent thing and stood aside, I am ready to serve.
What are you talking about?
I see myself as the next Doctor Who in waiting.
But that is totally insane. Even Chris Marshall would be better than you.
I believe I now have a clear mandate to be a new type of Doctor Who. My spunky, attractive assistant will be Len McCluskey. My TARDIS will run solely on compost. And I will deal with the threat of the Daleks by engaging these monstrous killers in a constructive dialogue.
You're not even a Time Lord!
Then how did I manage to take an entire country back to the 1970s?
I'm Nick Robinson, and this week on Panorama, we're asking, the election. What the flip just happened? Theresa May called a snap election on the 18th of April 2017, and Brenda wasn't happy about it.
You're joking, aren't you? Not another one? What's she doing that for? There is too much politics. It's just too much politics.
That was Brenda, the Conservative candidate for Bristol North. So overconfident was Theresa May that the Tories couldn't even be bothered putting lies about the NHS on the side of a big red bus. As soon as Theresa May called the election, things seemed to go wrong. She kept turning up at near-empty factories for what seemed like overly stage-managed events.
And that's why we need a strong and stable Tory government. Does anyone have any questions? Yes? Yes, you there, who most definitely isn't a planted local Tory activist called Bernard.
How strong and stable are you?
Right, that's it. I'm closing down this press conference. No one warned me about gotcha questions like that.
Suddenly, the polls were narrowing, so it was up to Theresa May to prove herself in a crucial Today interview.
You're listening to Today. We're joined now by the Prime Minister.
Like, hello, Mrs. Lady. Like, say hello, Scoop.
You're not the Prime Minister. You're Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Like, totally. But I've been sent out by Conservative Central Office to give interviews instead because I sound slightly less scared than Theresa May.
The rest, as they say, is history. A humiliating election night for Theresa May, leaving the party with no overall majority. The crushing defeat meant that two people constantly by Theresa May's side in the campaign, her most trusted advisers, were forced to leave number 10. How will Miss Rupert Murdoch and Paul Dacre...
It's been a grueling election for UKIP, and these results are a bitter pill to swallow. Here at UKIP, we don't want to look back. We want to look forward. As yet, no decision has been made on our next leader. But whoever this young, new, fresh face turns out to be...
Did someone say Nigel Farage?
I was thinking more...
Let me speak.
Hey?
Off you pop, Treacle. Well,
hey, no, come on, go.
Off you go.
I'm not finished.
Haven't you got a home to pretend to live in? UKIP's a one-man party, just like my 50th. I know what the people of UKIP want, and it certainly isn't looking forward, it's looking back. The standout story of this election was Jeremy Corbyn, who thrived by offering to take us back to the 70s. But let me tell you, it's certainly not the 70s I remember. I pledged to take us back to a time before the PC Brigade stopped us using everyday terms like blackout.
You can still say that.
Not the way I use it. I'll take us back to a time where you could let your child drink half a lager at dinner, followed by a limoncello with dessert, two bottles of red with a cheese ball, and then retire to the drawing room for Harvey Wallbangers and strippers. Back to a time where you could tell your lady secretary, and they are always ladies, that she looks bloody lovely. Women like being complimented and spanked on the behind, stroked on the knee, and told you wouldn't mind having a go in those Peaky Blinders.
Nigel, is this an official policy announcement?
Oh, here we go. The liberal media trying to catch me out again. I just want to take us back to a time where you could have a cigarette in a pub, have a cockfight in a budgeon's car park. Back to a time where the liberal elite didn't try to stop you walking through a school playground in your pants. That's the shortest route to the Lido. A time where you could fly tip your porn stash in a reservoir. I, Nigel Farage, am the man to take this party forward. Forward to 1976.
But Nigel, you haven't been elected yet.
I wouldn't worry about that. The UKIP leadership contest is just a who can piss up a wall the highest contest. And my bladder's so inflamed it comes out like a burst pipe out of the Drambuie factory. Right, I'm off. I haven't been on BBC for at least 35 minutes. They'll be worried sick.
Coming up later this evening on BBC One, we've a disturbing glimpse into a bleak, dystopian future world. That's the news at 10 with Hugh Edwards. But first, David Attenborough returns with a brand new series of Walking with Dinosaurs.
Once, they ruled their territory majestically. The big beasts, feared by all, thought to have been driven to extinction. But now, roaring ferociously once again, thanks not to the magic of CGI, but thanks instead to Theresa May's decision to call a disastrous snap election. They are the Tory grandees all over the Sunday political shows. The distinctive, grey-skinned Majorosaurus.
Theresa May entering into an alliance with Arlene Foster? As a Prime Minister, my advice is be careful who you get into bed with.
And there, emerging from the haze of cigar smoke, we see the Clarkeopteryx.
What a mess she's made. The only place where Theresa May can now lead is on Strictly Come Dancing.
Rallying to the Prime Minister's defence was the nimble-footed Eba Gummadon.
Well, I support Theresa May's decision to call a snap election. as that means I move one more notch down the list of worst ever Tory leaders.
And after that, even the saber-toothless Neville Chamberlain piled in.
I have in my hand a piece of paper which says Theresa May is crap.
Hello, you've reached the Govenator.
Michael, hello, it's your boss here.
Rupert, your voice has changed.
No, it's Theresa. How are you settling in?
Very well. And I want to assure you there will be none of that political backstabbing and gossip I did last year.
Yes, well, we're all delighted to have you back on board and working alongside everyone. Myself, Philip Hammond, Amber Rudd at the Home Office.
Oh, yes, you kept her, didn't you? Gosh, well, that was brave.
Wait, what do you mean?
Oh, it's not my place to say, really. Oh, I feel terrible even talking about this to you. I really shouldn't. But Govon, you've twisted my arm. Don't shoot the messenger. But I heard Amber Rudd say that you were the reason she nearly lost Hastings. She said her words, not mine. And she said that if she even, like, saw you again, she'd, like, run through a field of wheat with you and bury you at the bottom of it.
Really?
But she said you were like a robot, not one of those like realistic robots from the Alien films, but like one that's basically just like a wheelie bin with arms.
What a cow.
If you fired her, I wouldn't blame you. I really wouldn't. And if you fancied giving the Govemeister a shot in the hot seat, then...
Michael? Michael? What was that?
Nothing. I certainly haven't broken into Amber Rudd's house and locked her in a cupboard, if that's what you were thinking.
Michael?
Fine. I'll let her out. Look, can I at least push Boris Johnson down the stairs of the Foreign Office?
Only if you make it look like an accident.
Welcome back to Love Island on ITV2 with me, Caroline Flack. I hate myself for presenting this as much as you hate yourself for watching it. Sensational news today as oil rigger Chris didn't quite get enough votes to take him through to the next part of the competition.
Well, I'm not surprised. He was simply no longer a credible alpha hunk.
Jeremy Corbyn!
And now that he is a dead man walking, I am ready to serve.
What are you talking about?
I see myself as the next Love Islander in waiting. I now have a clear mandate to wander around in nothing but a pair of Speedos and get all the honeys dripping for me with my pasty legs, scrawny chest and beach-ready beard.
OK, Jeremy, I don't know if you've ever seen this show before, but it does require contestants to engage in some pretty explicit sexual activities.
I haven't got a problem with that. Didn't you see my high five with Emily Thornberry?
Thank you. No more questions. Shut up, losers. Pay attention. This is the Donald talking. Making America great again. One paranoid, delusional tweet at a time. I have been watching the British election on Fox News, which informed me my good friend Nigel Farage, great guy, wasn't taking part. On account of you making him king, which is so great. An election between a cold, uninspiring woman mouthing unconvincing soundbites who was expected to win, and a rabble-rousing populist promising his fanatical supporters the earth. Where do you get these ideas from? I gotta tell you, folks, not great. I knew my friend Theresa May was in trouble. Because she never seemed like number 10 material to me. Definitely a 4, perhaps a 6 in the kinky heels. My congrats to Jeremy Carbine for coming second. And commiserations for being in a strange, backward country where the person who comes second doesn't win you the election. Now shut up, I got some bigly news. Great news. With immediate effect, I am slapping a travel ban on everyone from the UK. I can already hear that you're saying, Donald, that doesn't make any sense. Donald, that's crazy. And I say, thank you for the compliment. But even worse, you allow your citizens to mock your British way of life and wear full face coverings in public? How many more terrorist atrocities does Lord Buckethead have to carry out before you people get smart?
This is the First Dates restaurant, where sparks fly and passions ignite. Hoping to meet someone to build a bright future with is 60-year-old fashion enthusiast Teresa.
I'm looking to find someone who shares my zealous lust for life, who I can build a rapport with moving forward, and doesn't mind if I cry myself to sleep.
Tonight she has a first date with football fan, working mum, and hardline anti-abortion campaigner Arlene.
I want to make it very clear that this date does not make me a lesbian.
As always, our resident love expert and ludicrously French maitre d', Fred Sirieux, is on hand to play Cupid.
Ah, beautiful ladies. We are nothing but specks of dust caught on the gentle winds of love. Our hearts part the clouds of loneliness, and starters are 2 for £10. Perhaps you could start by talking about your interests.
I love fashion.
I like loudly denouncing homosexuality.
You might have a point.
Do you like playing the faith and marching with the Orange Man?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. It's all I've ever dreamt of since last week.
With the date off to a promising start, the ladies look over the menu.
You can have anything you want, Arlene.
I want 3 lobsters and a bucket of caviar, followed by the 7-course taster menu, 4 bottles of Moët, and the UK's whole environmental budget given to Northern Ireland so that we can frack Giant's Causeway.
That is an awful lot of demands.
And I forgot my purse.
With an awkward moment sending the date from bad to worse, Teresa tries to rescue the conversation.
Well, this is delicious, isn't it? How's your dinner?
The dinosaurs didn't exist.
With the date coming to a close, we asked our first daters if they thought they'd be seeing each other again.
Aye, once every week for the next 5 years.
Maybe I'll see what Leanne Wood's up to.
People of Britain, on behalf of those on the right of the Labour Party, I would just like to offer my heartfelt congratulations to take your time, Tony, you can do this. Congratulations to Jeremy Catweasel. Oh, Tony, you were so close. Look, in the past, those of us on the right of the party might have had some minor misgivings about him, describing Jeremy as being an unelectable Marxist pariah, a useless, pathetic, terrorist-sympathising waste of space, a shambolic joke with about as much chance of being elected Prime Minister as he does of dating Scarlett Johansson. But of course, you know, that was just light-hearted banter. And by the way, congratulations, Jeremy, on your engagement to Scarlett Johansson. quite the week for you, yeah. On election night, it was great to see how those on the right, from Yvette Cooper to Dan Jarvis to Chukwuemeka, the way they all came together after the results to celebrate, which they did by shredding their leadership bid proposals to create confetti. Because, you see, deep down, Jeremy Catweasel and I are not that different. He's a radical socialist who supports a hard-left Marxist ideology. And I once had a Che Guevara poster on my bedroom wall next to the one of that tennis girl scratching her ass. He got millions of young people out on the street by offering a kinder version of Britain. I got millions of young people out on the street by invading Iraq. But now the divisions of the past must be forgotten. It's time for the party, right and left, to unite against a common enemy. And I can help by being that common enemy. The right of the party hating me because it was my disastrous war which made the Labour brand so toxic it gave rise to the Corbynistas. And the left hating me because I'm Tony Blair. Let's go forward now together as one Labour Party, united in hatred of me. Oh, and does anyone know which countries don't have an extradition treaty with The Hague? Asking for a friend.
Hello. You've reached the voicemail of Theresa May.
I'm either on another call or sat alone in number 10 thrashing myself with a wheat sheaf. Teresa, hi, it's Ruth Davidson here, People's Princess, and now the cool Tory it's okay to like. Gutted about the election. Well, your bit of the election. No, seriously, we were so upset, really. We shut down the karaoke at 5 rather than 5:30, and I only did Walking on Sunshine once. I just want to say, Teresa, don't worry about a thing. I'm going to come down to number 10. We can have a full meeting, decide which one's going to be my bedroom, and we'll see how soon we can get the orange men to go on a gay pride march.
Hello, and welcome to Spring Watch. Now, tonight we've been hoping to show you live pictures of our woodland vole, but unfortunately he seems to have disappeared.
Fear not, I am ready to serve.
Jeremy, sorry, you're suggesting you take the place of a scruffy, hairy little creature who spends his life digging around in the soil and survives only on nuts and fruit. That could work.
Newsbeat. You're listening to Radio 1's Newsbeat with me, Tina Dehealy. Taylor Swift kills 30 and Hurricane Bob launches new fragrance. No, I've read that in the wrong order. On today's show, anarchy in the UK. Anarchy. Last week was the general election, and the shock result was all down to us young people. Joining me now is political agitator and pug enthusiast Paloma Faith.
That's right, Tina. Our voices must be listened to. Even ones like mine. That speak, like, really, really slowly.
Also in the studio is the man we've just installed as Chancellor of the Exchequer, Will I Am.
Now, that is so dope. Wiggity, wiggity, yo, where's the love? We need a budget that works for the many, not the few. Did you know that young people in this country are living in houses that don't have a swimming pool, a recording studio, or even a swimming pool with a recording studio in it? This has got to end now. Yeah.
Brexit will now be taken over by Ed Sheeran. He'll be trying to butter up all the single market European bureaucrats through singing.
I'm in love with the shape of Bruges.
Oh, no! It's the over 70s voters.
Yes, that's right. And as I used to say to my great hero, Muhammad Ali, we know how you young people are susceptible to bribes. So here, take this free Parker pen. For years, we've been blindly voting Conservative because they've given us what we want. A triple lock on pensions, cheap TV licences, and a triple lock on pensions. And there's no chance you're taking control away from us.
Well, listeners, looks like we're having some problems here. But in the meantime, text us with your favourite Katy Perry song and you could be in with a chance of becoming Secretary of State for Schools. Newsbeat.
Every year, thousands of people come to Gamblers Anonymous for help. But in the past 2 years... gambling in the United Kingdom has become a national epidemic.
My name's Teresa, and I've got a gambling problem. It all started well enough when I won a leadership contest. I was an outside bet, but I won big. I should have stopped then. But instead I found myself calling a snap election, and now it looks like I'll lose my house. But listen, I can win it all back. I got us into this, I'll get us out of it. And you know what? I still love it. Everything's gone to shit, but I just feel so alive.
My name's Nicola, and I too have an election-based gambling problem. I just want one more referendum, and then I'll quit.
Look, as I said to Sam Cam over Cocoa Pops this morning, risking the country's future on a national referendum seemed like excellent bants at the time. Now all I have to fill my days with is going on holiday. Actually, I really like going on holiday. What am I doing here?
I had a system worked out, see? I gambled on losing a national referendum, but then disaster struck when I won! Did you see? I even lost at losing. Classic Johnners, tits up.
Gamblers Anonymous, for God's sake, stick to Foxy Bingo.
Such a classic track. The Doobie Brothers there, Long Train Running. Wonderful, listen to it on my bike. You're listening to BBC Radio 2. Because you're at the age where Radio 1's too noisy, but Radio 4's still just too talky. So in the wake of the general election, we go over to political editor Laura Koonsberg, outside Westminster now. Laura!
Yes, yes, Jeremy. Westminster today is a scene of utter confusion. Theresa May trying to cobble together a majority. Jeremy Corbyn thinks he already has one. Farron's gone. Nuttall's gone. And I have never felt so alive.
Laura, are you okay?
Never underestimate a severely sleep-deprived BBC political editor, Jeremy. Look at the chaos I've created.
Laura, are you suggesting the current political shambles is something to do with you?
It's all me by me. First Brexit, now this. I pull the strings, Jeremy.
Laura, how could you possibly have had anything to do with...
First, I implanted an electrode in Theresa May's frontal lobe, making her repeat the same three words over and over again until the average British citizen wanted to rip out their own eardrums. Then, Jeremy, I appeared in her dream, an apparition, a godlike vision. The dementia tax is a cracking idea, Theresa. And don't forget to tell them how you run through fields of wheat. They'll love that.
What? Laura, I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Then back to Westminster, where in a moment of sheer brilliance, I persuaded Theresa May to base her campaign entirely on personality.
Laura, this is outrageous.
And in my final stroke of genius, Jeremy, just when you thought things couldn't get more stomach-turningly awful, I brought back Michael Gove. Strap in, people, the fun has only just begun.
Dave Ringus was performed by John Culshaw, Lewis MacLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howarth, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Buck, Laura Major, Max Davis and Jack Bernhardt. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Studios production.
Now we know Laura Koonsberg's really in charge, things